My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Praise God. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to John, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent, signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now, here's what I want to focus on for this text. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. When you open the book of Revelation, you're in for a blessing, because the Bible says it is a blessing book. It is the only book in the Bible that actually states, if you read this and keep the truths of this in your heart, that you're in for a blessing. It's the only book that states it. The other books, obviously, are a blessing to all of us, but it's assumed, it's not stated. The book of Revelation, it's stated. It's said that if you read this, if you understand, what is he saying? Is it because of your opinion of this sign or that trumpet or that seal or what that means or what this horse means or that horse means? No, it's because you're a part of the kingdom age and the end of God's plan to bring about the kingdom into the earth. Does anybody want to be in that plan? Does anybody want to bring the kingdom to the earth? I believe that one of the most powerful things that we believe in our doctrine is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the new birth. Thank God for the oneness of God. Thank God for these tremendous truths. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus needs to return to validate all of that. Everything we teach and preach hangs on the second coming of Jesus to validate everything that we hold dear and we believe is true. And I believe he's coming back. And when you live your life for that eternal purpose, you are a blessed people. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am blessed. See, some of y'all did it right, but some of you didn't. I am blessed. You got to sing it to them. Sing them. Give me a song up in the house. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about the blessing book. The devil does not want you to hear this message. He does not want you to hear the revelation of Jesus Christ. There are two books in the Bible that the devil fights in the secular world more than any of the other books of the Bible. And one is Genesis and the other is Revelation. I'll tell you why the devil hates the book of Genesis and why he hates the book of Revelation is because in Genesis, the devil's doom is pronounced, that there is going to be judgment that will come upon him. And in the book of Revelation, it is carried out. Did you know that there is no devil in the first two chapters or in the last two chapters of the Bible? And so the devil has to wage war against the book of Genesis, and the devil has to wage war against the book of Revelation. The devil will tell you that Genesis is a myth and that you evolved from a monkey and there's no such thing as creation. And they'll tell you that the revelation is a mystery, and don't pay attention to either one of them. But the book of Revelation is that golden clasp that binds the entire Bible together. What you see in embryo in the book of Genesis, you see in completion and fulfillment in the book of Revelation. In the book of Genesis, the first Adam is reigning on the earth. But in the book of Revelation, the last Adam is reigning in glory. In the book of Genesis, you see the night, the darkness, and the seas were created. But in the book of Revelation, there is no more night and there is no more sea. As you go to the book of Genesis, you see a bride presented to her husband, Adam. But in the book of Revelation, you see the bride, the church, presented to her husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Genesis, you see the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. But in the book of Revelation, you see the tree of life in God's new creation. In the book of Genesis, you see sin as it begins and brings death and a curse. But in the book of Revelation, sin has been finished with, and there is no more death. There is no more curse. There is no more sighing, no more dying, no more crying, no more pain, no more moaning, no more groaning. The former things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. In the book of Genesis, Satan appears for the first time, but in the book of Revelation, he appears for the last time. In the book of Genesis, man is driven from the garden and from God's face in sin. But in the book of Revelation, man sees God's face in glory. In the book of Genesis, men are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. But in the book of Revelation, the holy city is found and man is given permission to dwell there. In the book of Genesis, Satan utters the first lie ever heard, "Ye shall not surely die." But in the book of Revelation, there is a city where no liars can enter into, and lying is gone forever. And what God begins years ago at the first creation, he completes in his new creation in Revelation. So there's four things that I want you to know about the book of Revelation. Four things I want you to learn about it, because I want you to be blessed. Because if you're not looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ, you will never experience the appearing of Jesus Christ. If you're not expecting the coming of the Lord and you're not looking for it and you're not wanting to be a part, now that kingdom purpose has a two-edged sword. There's judgment coming upon the earth, but there's also deliverance and redemption for God's people. First of all, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. I want you to learn the central character of Revelation is not John, and it's not the white horse, and it's not the pale horse. It's Jesus Christ himself. The revelation is not the revelation of St. John the Divine. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation means an unveiling. It is the unveiling of the Lord Jesus. He is uncovered. He is unveiled. It's the Greek word apokalypsis, and it is literally means to unveil, to take the cover off. And that's what I want to do in this world. I want to take the cover off and let everybody know just how wonderful Jesus is. I have found that out in the church through the Holy Ghost, but I want the world to know. I want the secular world to know. I want the governments to know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings. They're not in charge of nothing. Jesus is the King. This book was written to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who's revealed. He's the one that's doing the revealing. When Jesus came the first time, his glory was veiled. But when he comes again, his glory will be unveiled. Jesus has promised he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom honor and power everlasting. Up till now, the glory of our Savior has been veiled. But now, in the book of Revelation, that veil has been pulled off. And everybody's going to see how glorious, how wonderful, how majestic our Jesus really is. He is the conqueror of death. He is the conqueror of hell. He is the conqueror of Satan. He is the conqueror of human flesh. He is the conqueror of the governments. He is the rock hewn out of the mountain that is going to crush the world system and bring it into subjection. And God is going to be all in all. In the end, it's going to be the church is going to win. It's the unveiling. You see, his second coming is going to be far different than his first coming. When Jesus came the first time, he came to a crucifixion, but the next time he comes, he's coming to a coronation. When he came the first time, he came to a tree, but when he comes again, he's coming to a throne. When he came the first time, he stood before Pilate to be judged, but when he comes again, Pilate's going to stand before him to be judged. When he came the first time, he came for shame, but when he comes again, he's coming in splendor. When he came the first time, he came to redeem, but when he comes again, he's coming to reign. When he came the first time, he came as a suffering servant, but when he comes again, he comes as a mighty sovereign. You need to know him not only as Savior, but you need to know him as the sovereign Lord of the universe. He's not only the justifier, he is also the judge. He's not just the Redeemer, he is the ruler. Woo! Jesus is my everything. Now, first reason and the first thing I want you to learn is who the character is. It's Jesus Christ. It's not the trumpets, it's not the seals, it's not the angels pouring out the vials, it's not the red dragon. Jesus is the central figure of the book of Revelation. It's his triumph over the world system. It is not the end of all things. It is not the end of the world. It is the story of the end of this present evil world and the beginning of a new world. But I also want you to learn that the book of Revelation, its primary purpose is that we need to also understand how to reveal Jesus in the earth. Too many people who love prophecy don't love Jesus. I want to say that again. Too many people who love prophecy don't love Jesus. They love to study prophecy, but they don't want to learn of me. They don't want to transform life. They'd rather have an argument and win their point than actually be transformed and become like Jesus. And there's your problem. That's the reason why a lot of prophecy people get angry when you disagree with them and what they believe this sign is or that sign is and this sign and when Jesus is coming back and somebody sets a date and another person don't believe you can set a date and then they get mad at one another. And I've seen them fuss and fight over that. They do it on the internet. They do it all over the place. But I'm going to tell you right now, what I find is Jesus is triumphant over everything. And that's the reason why we need to study the book of Revelation. The reason the blessing of the Lord is not on people today is because they're so self-absorbed and they're so into their own problems, they don't know what they're a part of. That's why people don't worship, is because they're worried about what they're going to do tomorrow and they're worried about what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is still on the throne, and as long as he's king, you're going to be taken care of. I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And if you could get a glimpse of what we're headed to and what's about to happen in the earth, you wouldn't sit there and say, oh no, we're not gonna make it. I don't think I can take another step. No, you're a part of the greatest thing that has ever been invented. There is nothing like the church. There is nothing like Jesus Christ in the earth. I I want you to know the central character of the book, and I want you to know the purpose of the book. And that is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Here's the clear purpose. It is written so you know what's about to happen in the earth, so you're not taken by surprise. Now, I just want to tell you right now, everything in the book of Revelation is going to be fulfilled. I don't want it any more than you do, but I want Jesus to come back. That's the clear purpose of the book. We don't have to guess about it. That's what is written. The purpose of the book is to show you the future and to know what's coming upon the earth so you're not surprised when you see the one world government form up. And not be afraid of it just because they're starting to persecute Christians. We've been persecuted for centuries, and the church has prospered. Even in Red China, the church is moving on. They can't stop it. You can't stop them. I said, you can't stop this. And if I could get a people that are blessed with the understanding that my eternal God has everything under control, that my Jesus, who is God, holds the world in the palms of his hands, you would not allow the enemy to destroy your faith. Only God knows the future. We don't go to fortune tellers. They don't know the future. We don't go to tea leaf readers and palm readers and all of that junk. The devil does not know the future. He can't even understand the book of Revelation. If he'd have known who Jesus was, he wouldn't have had him crucified. But he's so ignorant and so dumb, and he's so into his own self that he didn't even know the plan of God, and he didn't even know when to stop. He just kept on pouring on indignation and judgment and heartbreak and heartache and killed him on the cross. But then something surprisingly happened. Jesus shows up at the mouth of hell and says, I want your keys. He says, you're not going to get them. You don't understand the power of the death of that innocent lamb that showed up in his doorstep. He had no choice but to give him the keys. And one day, he will come back again, and the governments of this planet will have no choice but to yield to his lordship. No choice but to yield. No choice. The word servants here in the Greek is doulos. It is literally means bond slaves. And if you're going to understand the book of Revelation, you're going to be blessed by it. You got to become submitted completely to his kingdom purpose. That means you got to get so sold out that you would actually say in the Holy Ghost right now, God, no matter what you put me through, no matter what you, I want to be at the end game. I want to be at the end. I want to come through in the final matter. You got to have that kind of confidence in him. He's going to take care of you. So you got to be a bond slave. You got to be submitted to him. You can't just, this book is not for you if you're not a bond slave. That's why you can't get blessed by it. And you just can't get blessed getting lost in all the imagery of the book. This, my dear friend, is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave unto you, him to show unto his douli, or servants, unto his bond slaves. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a bond slave if you got the right master. Hallelujah. Say, I'm no slave, and I know slavery in our world and our culture, I mean, it's a bad word, and I can understand what they mean, but you don't know my Jesus. Because he ain't never done me nothing but good. Because if you're a bond slave, according to the text and the Sermon on the Mount, you don't have to worry about your food. You don't have to worry about your clothing. You don't have to worry about your next doctor's visit. You don't have to worry about nothing. That's the master's business. If you've got a wonderful master, it's a good deal. As a matter of fact, I found out there's no greater freedom than to be the slave of Jesus Christ, because he gives authority to his servants and says, walk as me in the earth. You are free. Woo! if you submit yourself to him. Now, I want to give you two thoughts about your future so you'll understand. The Lord's going to show his people, first of all, the sureness of this prophecy. I want you to know how sure it is, because he said, look at it which must shortly come to pass. I want you to look at that word must in Revelation 1 and 1. The things that are written in this book will surely happen. These things must happen, and God cannot lie. Sureness. It's going to happen. That means the Antichrist is coming. Say, well, I know who he is. No, you don't. He hadn't been revealed yet. I know, I've heard it ever since I've been studying prophecy since I was 14 years old. I've heard it was Hitler. I heard it was Kissinger. They all had their numbers of their names, and they're all gone, and they're not the Antichrist. But they are forerunners of a concept. That's the reason why they're planting the seeds of totalitarianism in America right now, because everybody wants to control everybody else's thinking. And they want to force their identity and their control on everybody else in the world. That's the reason why you're seeing all of this played out in your government right now and in the educational process. They don't want anybody contradicting them, even if they've got facts. They don't want science contradicting them. They want to create a world after their own image. Amen. That's what's happening in our world right now. But I want this image not to be of them, but to be of Christ. Do you know why I worship? Do you know why I clap my hands? It's because I'm outside the system of this world, and they can't stand it when you say amen. They can't stand it because you're agreeing with this preacher right now. When you clap your hands, when you say praise the Lord, when you say according to Revelation 19, hallelujah. God's going to judge the great whore and cast her down into the fiery flames of hell. Hallelujah. Dominion and salvation belongeth unto my God. Can anybody say hallelujah before it happens? It is sure, must come to pass. Then there's the nearness of the prophecy. Look at that word, which must shortly come to pass. That means quickly, just like that, it's going to happen. Be ready. It can spin your head how quick God can set everything up. He can stop it and then start it right back up again. He can put Europe together and the old Roman Empire, bring them into a power, and then do a Brexit to delay it and get England out of it. Huh? And then before you know it, I mean, they're doing everything they can to overthrow the vote of the people of those British Isles. They voted to exit from that mess. And they're doing everything they can to stop it. It's all about the one world government. It's all about setting up an Antichrist. They want somebody to come and to take over this world. But I'm going to tell you, I'm calling for the one who is the master. Now notice this. Now, here's what I want you to do. This is the reason why Jesus said over and over again, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. If you're not ready, you need to get ready. Be ready, Freddie. Is there any Freddies in the house? Okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? Turn to another neighbor and say, get ready. Then turn to somebody else and say, be ready. The Bible says here, and he sent and signified it by his angel. That word, angel, means messenger unto his servant John. Now look at the word signified, and he sent and signified it. That means a sign. Now what does it mean? It means that the book of Revelation is filled with signs and symbols. In other words, for example, in Revelation 12, Satan is spoken of as a great red dragon having a tail so long that he can knock out a third of the stars from heaven. That's not a literal deal. That is a sign or a symbol of Satan's power. And so many of the things that are stated in the book of Revelation are signs and symbols. So here's the third thing that I want you to learn about the book of Revelation. First thing is who's the character? See, that wasn't good enough. Y'all failed the test. All right, you're going to have to stay here all night long. We're going to clean the church, and we're going to no Krispy Kreme donuts either. Amen. All right, who's the character of the book?
Jesus.
What is the purpose of the book? Amen. All right, here's the third thing I want you to learn. It possesses powerful promises who bear record of the word of the Lord and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words and keep those things, for the time is at hand. Blessed with his presence, blessed with his purpose, and now blessed with his promises. I think the Bible is trying to get us to understand we need to read the book, we need to heed the book, and we need to keep the book. And some of us do a good job reading, and we do a good job heeding, but we're not quite at the keeping level. The word literally means to watch over it. That you need to watch these words come to pass in the very media that we're all absorbed with. Blessed are those that read and those that hear and those that keep these things, for the time is at hand. Because there is no other book that can bless like God's word. And I'm not just talking about the book of Revelation. I'm talking about the whole book. The science book can't bless you. The political manual can't bless you. The book of sociology can't bless you. Humanology, secularism, it can't bless you, but there is this book. I dare you to walk into any political rally in America and see if one person, if they find out you're a Christian, will bless you. Amen. You will not. You will not get blessed because there's no blessing in their mouth. There is no life in their mouth. Go to any university you want to and tell them, I'm an apostolic Jesus name, one God, tongue talking. And I guarantee you, if they don't shoot you right then, they will do everything they can to crush you and to get you out of their college. Don't even say everybody else needs to be like me. Just say what you are. I am this and I'm not changing. I believe in creation and I believe Jesus is coming back. You know. And I guarantee you, you will not be blessed. There is no life in their mouth. But let them come to our church. I don't care if they believe we all are monkeys. We're going to bless them because this book is a blessing book. And we're going to say we love you, even if you are a monkey. There's no life in their mouth. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You say, why are you teaching on this? Because it's important. A storm is coming to our world. If you can't sense that, you're blind. A storm is coming to our world and we need to get ready. The Bible, speaking about the second coming of Jesus, Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I want you to learn that this book has promises and those promises are sure. I want us to learn the permanence of the prophecy, for it is sure and it is certain. Blessed is he that reads it, hears the words, keeps the things which are written, for the time is at hand. He doesn't mean that it's immediate. He means that it's imminent. And there's a difference. Because immediate sets a time. But imminent, it could be any time that God says it's time. He means that it could happen at any time. Be ready. The time is at hand. Any moment, Jesus could come. You say, well, how do I know that the book of Revelation is true? How do I know that God's going to do this? First of all, there are six major signs that indicate the time is truly at hand. Okay, your first sign, the return of Israel to her land. I've studied a lot of the European writers through all of the centuries, going back as far as they've got books, as far as they've got written manuals and written
scrolls and everything else. And they have always said that the Bible is disproved because Israel has not been restored as a nation. And that was one of the prophecies they pointed to say that the Bible was false. They just didn't know the time. May 15th, 1948. The Republic of Israel was born and Israel became a nation. It is one of the greatest signs of the times. In Matthew 24 and 30 and following, this is spoken as of the budding of the fig tree. You can't deny it. It's there. They've shot missiles at it. The UN's condemned them. They've had every Arab nation come against them. And God rose up and protected them. Don't tell me this book ain't true. After almost 2,000 years of not being a nation and being scattered, God said, I'll call them back, and the kings of the earth will bear them on their shoulders, and the mothers will give their milk to the young. And it's happened. And America, with her might, military power, carried her and brought her back. And now she's a nation, and now everybody's upset and fussing and carrying on about Israel being a nation. But that's all right. Let it be so, because it's still going to be as God declares. I know you're going to really like this second sign. Russia's rise to prominence and power. It is not by accident they're in Syria. He said, I'll put a hook in their jaw when they don't even want to go. They don't even want to do it. He said, I'll put a hook in their jaw and I'll bring them into the valley of Megiddo. And there I'll pour out my judgment. And Ezekiel 38 had a vision of an army north of Israel that would invade the land in the last days. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north part, a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel. And it shall be the latter days. Moshe Dayan, who was one of the greatest leaders in the nation of Israel and their great general, said the next war will not be with the Arabs. It'll be with Russia. The bear has risen. And they don't even have the ingenuity and the ability to build a road outside of Moscow. I've been there. I've seen it. I've driven on their roads. And yet they have such prominence and power in the earth. It's because God has decreed it for the last day. The revival of the Roman Empire is the third sign. The Bible teaches in Revelation 17, as we will see when we get there, and in Daniel 2 and in other places, that the ancient Roman Empire is going to be reconstituted and refederated with that 10-nation confederacy. And that is the political power that is going to rise in the last day, from which Antichrist will come. The rise of the occult. We are seeing spirits speaking expressly in this time that there are going to be people giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. It says in Great Britain that there are reported 35,000 practicing witches and warlocks, and 35,000 practicing witches and warlocks and black masses in France, 40,000. Come on, church, the rise of the occult. Are we going to quit praying when they're praying that we be destroyed and fasting? Are we going to quit fasting at the end time? Are we going to stop worshiping and praising God? Satanism is on the rise. There is no place you can go on the media in Hollywood that they're not promoting demonism, witchcraft, and magic and all of that junk. We are on the edge of darkness. And what we need is a church that is a true light. I'm not here to condemn them. I'm here to tell you it's time for the church to rise up and be the church. May I ask you this? Quit talking about the church as a separate institution from yourself. Well, the church needs to do something. Are you not the church? The church is not an institution outside of yourself. If you've got the Holy Ghost and fire, you're the church. Quit telling the church to do something you need to stand up and do. Well, we need, the church needs to work. No, you need to worship. The church needs to pray. You need to pray. Somebody needs to start shaking heaven because we're in the last of the last days and the one world government is coming and I want the blessing of God upon me. Hallelujah. The great increase in earthquakes, famines, and pestilence is another sign. These signs are going to come to pass. Jesus warns the world of famine. Millions die because of starvation. The black horse of the tribulation is famine. It's wanting to ride through the world again. Even with all of our technology, even with all of our computers, even with all of our science. Proverbs 13, here's the reason why. It's not the science, it's not the seed. Proverbs 13, 23 will tell you why. It states, and I'm paraphrasing from the Hebrew, okay? In the power of one seed, there is enough to feed the entire world. One seed has the power to feed the world. People starve because of corruption in the hearts of men and injustice in the system. We give enough food to feed the world, but you've got people that take that, use it and sell it on the black market, and it never gets to the people who are truly hungry. That's the reason why. So we need to feed the world. You can't feed the world if you've got a corrupt government that won't let their people get fed because they're afraid they're going to revolt against their corruption, their cruelty, and their brutality. And it's everywhere. It's not just in one place. It's everywhere. That's the reason why you need to hear this book. You need to read this book. And you need to find out that time is at hand. And I'm not going to back up. And I'm not going to back down. I don't care how much the devil criticizes me. I don't care how much people who say they're of God criticize us. We're going to rise up and we're going to believe the book because the book is true. I said the book is true. The book ain't wrong. I said, the book ain't wrong. So I say, church, let's rise up in this hour. Somebody say, I'm a Christian. Somebody say, well, how can I identify myself? Do I go around with a sign saying I'm this, that, and the other? No, go blessing people. That'll mess everybody up. Go speaking life into them. Go pray for Isaac. Instead of what, go pray for somebody in the hospital. If they're in the hospital, lay hands on them and pray for them in the name of Jesus. Shake them up. Say, well, they're atheists. Pray for them anyway. Why can't you love an atheist? Oh, they're atheists. I can't love them. Well, sure you can. They're not going to rub off on you. If you're in the book, the atheist can't mess with you. The Baptist can't mess with you. The people that don't even believe in a resurrection can't mess with you. None of them can mess with you if you believe the book. Amen. So, I say, church, how many of you are going to commit to pray and to seek the Lord and to do your thing to bring about the end time prophecies? Whatever I do, I want it to be a part of the end game. Go ahead and have stand. Go ahead and stand. I'm done. The blessing book. I've always been what you would call a silent student of Revelation. I don't share a lot of my views. I've studied all of the different prophetic concepts. There's so many different ideas about the book of Revelation, but I've studied just about every one of them. And this is what I found out. I kind of preached it to you tonight. I know what the book is about. His name is Jesus. I know what his purpose is to show you the future of what's about to happen on the earth so you'll be prepared and be ready for it. It contains many wonderful promises of what God's going to do in the end time, and we are the beneficiary of that. You don't realize it, but according to the book of Revelation, there's a whole host of sainted dead that are praying for God to judge the earth for the blood, their blood that was spilled standing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, how long till you avenge us? I'm going to add my prayer to that. Now, I haven't been threatened. My life hasn't been threatened for the gospel. I haven't endured that kind of persecution. And I just hope that all of those go to judgment first and God clears them all out and I get to stand next to some of them Americans, hallelujah, that make it, that's never faced all that pain. We have it, and I'm not asking for it. I don't want it, but I don't know what's going to stir people. And my interpretation of a trumpet or a thunder or a vial ain't going to stir nobody. But my Jesus can stir them. And I leave it open because I'm... How you interpret one particular trumpet or sign or this isn't necessarily a heaven or hell issue. It's not going to send you to hell. It's not going to keep you from heaven. So I understand that. Not everybody understands that, but I do. But there is one truth you can't waver on, and that's the second coming of Jesus. You waver on that truth, and you will be lost. You can't waver on that. You've got to be firm on that. Jesus is coming back, and you got to want to play a part in that. I want to do my part. And I know we're praying for backsliders to come back, but I've presented this in a way that I feel like people can understand it and receive it, and I hope I have. Because I want to stir your heart. Because I don't want you to just pray, oh God, touch this person and help that person. I want you to pray eternity and the eternal purpose into existence. Because that is the kind of praying that shakes everything. That's the kind of praying that shakes it. And so I want you to just step out from where you're standing. I want you to walk to the front, and I want you to say, Brother Kinsey, I want that blessing of the eternal on my life. I want eternity's end time blessing on my life. I want God to be glorified. There are five, maybe there to some there are five, some to there are seven signs of the Antichrist, of what he's going to be and what he's going to do, and how you know he's going to seize power. You say, well, I don't understand how the government's going to take over the world. They're not going to use the military. They don't have enough military to do that. They're going to use the economy to do that. See, that's the reason why that dude on the horse had the balances in his hand. Remember that? And you also know that if you don't receive the mark, you can't buy or sell. That's how he's going to do it. It's through the economy. Because there's not enough military. I mean, you'd have to put everybody in the military. Then you would defeat your purpose. But if they starving you to death, they can take over the world. They withhold food. You can't get a job. You don't have the mark. I mean, it's set up for him to take over. And they're talking about hate speech, and that if we preach against any kind of sin, it's hate speech now. But they can hate us. They've got a law right now before the California House of wiping out all Christian literature in the state of California. They're going to take it all. They're going to shut it all down. Now, I don't know that they would pass that right now. I don't know that they could actually do that as long as the Constitution's in place. But they're trying. It'll probably end up, if they do get it passed, we'll have to fight it and bring it to the Supreme Court, and they'll lose that battle in the Supreme Court right now. At this time, they will. But this is the thinking. I'm just trying to show you what the thinking is. Because it's all getting set up. This is real. I'm not making this stuff up. And I know, you know, your toe hurts, and I understand you need prayer. And I want your toe to get healed. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to have a bad toe. I want it to be healed. But if you don't understand where we're at in today's world, you will be caught by surprise. You will be discouraged, and your faith will be shaken. And I want your faith to be strong. Yeah, it might be coming, but I've got someone who's stronger, and he's coming. And I want you to understand the urgency. That's why I want you blessing one another, and I want you praying for one. This blessing is on you. You've got the Holy Ghost in fire. If you're looking for the coming of the Lord, you're blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. Turn to somebody else and say, Jesus is coming back. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I'm reading, heeding, and keeping the book. I'm reading, heeding, and keeping the book. And it's powerful. So I want you to connect with somebody right now, because that's how we're going to stay together, and that's how we're going to be strong together. That's how we're going to believe God together. And all we're going to do is we're going to pray for Israel. God will bless Israel. We're going to pray that God would show us how to connect with his end time purpose by looking for his appearing. Being ready, aware, on guard, watching over these things as they come to pass. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Israel's been restored. Famine and earthquakes everywhere today.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.